This was a case where the complainant's credibility was sent. In an effort to bolster credibility, the state provided the jury with photocopies of the only pages in her journal that contained any entries. The jury, during the deliberations, expressed confusion as to what exactly was in evidence regarding the journal. The trial court failed to provide any direction to the jury, and Mr. McCullough's right to a fair trial was violated.
Can I stop you right there? I'm a little bit confused. Is this diary a book of some sort that has pages with lines that you're supposed to write in, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So we've got this book, and from the way I'm understanding it, there are, what, four pages that are written on, and all the rest is blank?
That's correct.
Are the pages separated out so that, you know, on the first entry, there's a page of what happened that day, and then there's a big gap in the pages, and then another entry 3 months later so that you could fill in the rest at some other time, or what? I mean,
no, from my recollection, and I believe Mr. Wakeman has the journal here today, my recollection is that all the pages were in order. There were no blank pages between the entries.
Isn't that kind of strange?
Yes, sir.
But that was not discussed at trial.
No, and in fact, Mr. Hurley, when he objected to switching the journal for the for the photograph pages, cited the fact that his cross-examination would have been different had the actual journal gone in. And one of the cross-examination questions he would have asked is, you know, why are these entries the way they are? So that would be part of the harm as to, even though he objected to that, why the court should have provided some direction to the jury as to what was in there.
Okay, so you're saying that earlier on there had been a debate, if you will, about whether only the pages would go in or the whole book, and the court ruled that only the pages go in?
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. What happened was when the jury asked the question, can we see the whole book, indicating that they thought there was other contents, the court suggested at that point, why don't we just switch out the journal for the actual pages? He said, I'm not going to agree to that because for whatever reason, the state chose to put the actual paper, the photographs in, photocopies in, rather than the journal. And that would have changed my cross-examination had the journal been edited.
Okay, and I'm going back some. Okay. And I'm saying at the point at which the state is introducing the pages, did the defense attorney say, well, actually, given the unusual nature of this particular diary, I'd like the whole book to go in so that the jury can see that these are the only entries and that, you know, there's a whole bunch of blank pages and all that kind of thing. That was not...
No, there was no
okay.
Debate with respect to that.
And just so I'm not confused now, as I read the briefs on the record, it's unclear whether any pages were introduced, photocopied or otherwise. As I understand it, the photocopied pages of the writings were given to the witness while the witness was on the stand, but not even the judge in the trial or the two attorneys knew whether anything had been introduced or not. That's why they sent the court reporter down to check the record, because they apparently couldn't remember.
Correct.
Isn't that correct?
I think the record does reflect, in hindsight, that the photocopies were actually what was entered into evidence, not the
journal. Does that mean that the photocopied pages of the only writing from the journal was in the jury room?
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct. And their question, however, indicated that they were confused. Because what happened was...
Well, what would have been the answer to the question that, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have the entire diary? Would that have been the appropriate answer to the question?
No. And in fact, the trial court suggested that very response and decided not to give that because it would have been misleading. That wasn't the entire journal. It was the entirety of the contents of the journal, but not the entire journal. And the court did not want to mislead the jury into thinking that that was it. And in fact, the jury was left with that misimpression, misunderstanding, when the court failed to give any instruction at all. Because their question revealed, can we see the entire journal that she wrote in, revealed that the jury was under the impression that there were other written content. And by failing to clarify that for the jury, the jury made a decision without the correct understanding of the evidence.
But the evidence is that they had, the evidence that they had was the entire content, but for blank pages.
Correct.
All right, so how would that have made a difference?
Well, just as Justice Berger was inquiring, the difference would be, that Mr. Hurley would have cross-examined differently, first of all, is what he stated on the record, had the entire journal gone in. The fact that there were these independent entries, the only entries in there happened to correspond with the three allegations here, versus it being part of a comprehensive journal.
So this was a trial tactic, then, to proceed as he did by Mr. Hurley?
Yes. To not object to just the photocopy pages going in, it appears. However, what happened was, on direct examination, the prosecutor showed the alleged victim the photocopies only. Had her read some excerpts from that about the allegations she made. On cross-examination, Mr. Hurley then asked her questions from the photocopies. Well, actually, he showed her the photocopies and the diary and had her read from the diary. So both were presented to the alleged victim, but the photocopies were the only ones that went back to the jury. And there's no discussion as to the actual Mr. Hurley actually deciding which one he'd agree to go with
that. Well, a reasonable juror would have assumed, would they not, that since Mr. Hurley didn't ask the witness or demand that the state or the court reveal to the jury that the rest of the pages were blank, a reasonable juror would have assumed that the only relevant part of the journal was contained in those pages and that they'd heard the relevant part and had it in the jury room, correct? Well, they expressed confusion for 17 minutes because they came back with a verdict without the answer to their question.
Correct. And we don't know because the court never inquired of them whether they were satisfied that they came to a conclusion before they reached the verdict as to whether they ever cleared that up, each individual jury.
Well, was the jury polled after they gave their verdict?
The jury was polled with respect to the generic verdict. But the court did not inquire of them as to whether or not they were satisfied that they were able to clear up their confusion before reaching a verdict.
Well, if any juror had remained confused, wouldn't they have said in response to the polling, "No, it's not my verdict because I'm still confused about the balance of the journal"?
They may have. They may not have. We don't know.
We know they did not.
They did not say that. But this court has also stated that the trial court is required to give the correct direction to the jury, regardless of whether defense counsel asked for it or the state asked for it. And so even if this court was going to delve into whether they were confused or not confused after the verdict, as a matter of right, Mr. McCullough had the right to have a jury who was properly instructed on the evidence and the law.
Well, is answering the jury's question about evidence tantamount to a correct statement of the law in an instruction?
Yes, it's tantamount to a correct instruction as to the evidence. And in fact, in Anderson versus State, I believe it is, the jury asked the question, there was a glove that was in evidence, and inside the glove was a key. And the jury asked about the evidence and said, what significance is this? Now, there was another issue involved in that the court responded without discussing the matters with counsel and said there's no significance to the key. But it was a question regarding what evidence is to be considered. And that's where this court stated that the defendant has the right to be tried by an entire panel of properly instructed jurors, and that the note that they had provided was tantamount to a request for further instructions on the evidence. And therefore, and this court stated in Bullock versus State, that even if the defense counsel waives, or even if the United States Supreme Court has said that, that they must be given clear direction one way or the other.
And weren't they told that they were to decide the case based solely on the evidence presented and the law as instructed by the court?
Yes, but once they sent the note to the court, it was clear that they had some confusion. So all of that sort of slips away with respect to this journal. The court says you must follow the law and the evidence, with respect to the evidence as I've given to you. And then when the juror comes back and says, we know those are the instructions, but we don't understand what's really in evidence. It's essentially what their question was.
Well, in the Anderson case that you cited, did the trial judge simply say to the jury, we're not answering your question, or said nothing to them in response to a question they had, and then they came back with a verdict?
No, he improperly instructed them, gave them instructions, and the key is of no significance. And
so there's no case similar to this one?
No, there is not, except for Freeman versus Delaware Auto Sales, where in the Superior Court, the jury expressed confusion with respect to an interrogatory that we had to respond to. And the trial court and the counsel sat down to come up with the correct or a modified version of the interrogatory. In the meantime, the jury came back with a verdict. Before accepting the verdict, the court inquired of them, were you satisfied that you were able to clear up this confusion, as a paraphrase, before you reached this verdict? And they all agreed that they were.
So the error here is the trial judge failing to say to the jury after having their note, now that I realize you've come back with a verdict, can I conclude from that fact that you've resolved the earlier confusion inferable from your question? That's what he should have said?
He should have in some way ensured that their confusion had been cleared up, because that's the judge's responsibility.
Okay, now, and we know that the defense attorney had an opportunity to, in effect, demand that on the record, and his response was, in effect, I don't want you to do anything. We'll take the verdict.
He did not respond. In fact, the question that was asked of him after the court gave the ruling was, he made the ruling, okay, well, let's assume that the jury came up with it. They solved the issue for themselves. Mr. Hurley, are there any other issues that we should address? It wasn't specifically with respect to that. So, at the very best, plain error comes into play here because he made no request, but he did not specifically waive this issue.
Well, why shouldn't we infer from his silence that he was content to have the question remain unanswered and take his chances with the verdict and then have you or someone else argue as you're doing now so he could have it both ways? He lost on the verdict, but he's got an issue on appeal.
Well, what's interesting is that the state has cited some cases in the habeas corpus.
I hope so.
And one of the things that is cited in those cases is an excuse for not bringing something to the court's attention at trial in the state court and letting them resolve it firsthand before the federal courts do it. So that's a little different reasoning for the waiver there. But one of the things that the court looks at with cause is we're going to excuse the trial court's trial attorney's failure to object because this is a novel issue of law and there's less likely a chance that he's actually thinking tactically not to object. And as this court pointed out, there are no cases, and as state has pointed out, there are no cases that either of us have found that is directly on point with this. They all deal with the law, instructions on the law rather than evidence.
I'm not sure that is an answer to my question. We know that defense counsel's one of the most experienced in the state, and one could argue one of the very best criminal defense attorneys in Delaware. When the judge asked him, okay, the jury had a question, they've now come back with a verdict, do you have any position on what we should do, or words to that effect? And he says nothing or says no. He has no other issues. And he takes the verdict. Why shouldn't we infer that he was taking his chance then by not answering the jury's question, that the jury had resolved the issue in his favor, but if they did not, he now has preserved an issue for appeal? Why should we allow him to have it both ways?
Well, first of all, the question was not, as Your Honor stated, respectfully. The court said, all right, with that said, meaning his ruling, anything we should take up before we bring in the jury, Mr. Hurley. That was not a question as to, are you okay with this ruling? This was from court. Now, assuming that's a waiver, as I indicated, there, it's less likely that Mr. Hurley made a tactical decision here because there's not case law out there supporting that type of a tactic. You know, there's not case law out there preventing it either. So the court can be more confident, and that's what the cases were that I cited with respect to habeas corpus, and the court excused the failure to object because they found cause there because it was such a novel issue that the court said, we feel comfortable and that it's less likely that he made a tactical decision to not object.
Now, is it fair to ascribe to the jury's question here that it was a request to review material that was not in evidence?
I think they were confused as to what was in evidence.
Well, is it fair that to say that they asked to see something which they thought was not in evidence?
I don't think that we can make that.
Well, what's the confusion about that?
The confusion is, do we have everything that's in evidence? Or, it could be the way Your Honor stated it, do I see something that's not in evidence? And that makes the court's requirement to clarify that even more important.
Well, assuming that it is a request to ask to review material that's not in evidence, the answer to that is always going to be, you may not.
That's correct.
And so how can there be prejudice to a defendant when the jury is denied the opportunity by the refusal to answer the question or to clarify that they can't? Or I suppose hypothetically the parties could agree to put something else in. But how can the defendant be prejudiced when the jury does not see something that was not in evidence and then renders a verdict based on the evidence?
Well, first of all, this court has stated that they're entitled to a correct statement of the law, correct guidance. And we don't know what they were speculating. We don't know what they were actually. Your Honor's assuming that's what they were asking for. We don't know that that's the case. So the prejudice comes with respect to what were they thinking? Were they thinking that Mr. Hurley was hiding the ball because he showed the alleged victim both the journal and the photocopies? Why didn't Mr. Hurley have that presented to the jury? They might have been thinking. So we don't know. And he has a right under Anderson versus State to have the jury properly instructed.
So you're asking us to presume prejudice on this record?
Yes.
And what is the legal authority for that?
Well, again, there's no actual cases directly on point here except those that have said that the defendant is entitled as a matter of right to a jury that is correctly instructed, and that is a substantial error. And that does not occur. That raises questions with respect to the judicial process.
And the incorrect instruction here was what?
Failure to instruct. The failure to instruct left the jury, misled the jury, the same as the proposed question that the proposed answer the judge was originally going to give, but he rejected because he didn't want to mislead the jury.
And the instruction that should have been given was what?
The instruction that should have been given was to tell the jury give them some type of explanation that this.
Well, tell me the words that the judge should have said.
That the only thing that they can consider is what was presented to them, and that they should not speculate as to what else was in the journal because these are the only contents.
You want to save your remaining 24 seconds?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, James Wakely on behalf of the State of Delaware. If I may begin by going to what the trial judge actually said right before asking the question to Mr. Hurley.
In fact, there was no further contact with the jury after the note was presented to the court. So we can only assume that the jury determined it did not require an answer to the question to continue its deliberation. All right. With that said, we should, is there anything we should take up before we bring the jury, Mr. Early?
The answer was no. That is an affirmative waiver of any possible review here. This is a case where tactical decisions were made by Mr. Early. As Ms. Walker mentioned, the diary was present.
Well, Ms. Walker says what you just read is a ruling. Would it have been appropriate for an attorney to say, Your Honor, I think you have misruled. I ask that you reconsider your ruling? Because the way she interprets the language, and it is susceptible to her interpretation, fairly, I think, is he ruled on what was going to happen, and then he said, is there anything else we need to take up? Meaning, different subject matter because I've just ruled.
Your Honor, I'm going to have to respectfully disagree that that was a rule, that it could even be characterized as a rule. There was, following the Anderson standard, behavior for receiving a jury note. They had gone through the entire process, and because this was a relatively unique event, whether it's occurred before, it has not been found in case law by either myself or Ms. Walker, he was seeking guidance from Mr. Earl. Is there anything you want? And if we're going to go to the only case in Delaware, we're going to go to Freeman versus Delaware Auto Sales, which I believe Your Honor, the Chief Justice presided over. The parties asked, or at least one of the parties asked for the jury to be given a clarification question. It's not outside the realm of a professional judgment to say, I'd like to ask if they understood. And again, this is not a question of confusion as the law. This is curiosity on the part of the jury.
Well, but isn't it pretty significant in terms of my review of what record is before us indicates that there were an awful lot of problems with her testimony, and there were an unusual level of alibi evidence for the defendant, and the journal seemed to be very important to everybody. So doesn't that take on a slightly different characteristic given the facts of this case?
Your Honor, it was the tactical decision of counsel to allow the photocopies to come in. As I said, the journal was there and Mr. Early used it. If you wanted to use it for any other purposes, it was there. He had it available. It could have been used. I have it here today. It's not missing in any way. He did a very effective job of exposing the credibility questions in her testimony. Mr. McCullough was acquitted of all the charges related to the January 1st incident. That was quite on the record, and it was the jury's decision, the jury's right to resolve the questions of credibility, however they saw fit based on the evidence. So whether there was some value to the entire journal, as Justice Ridgely noted, it was not in evidence, and there was no instruction that the trial court could have given. To say you have the entire journal. I hope that's responsive to your question.
Well, okay. I understand that the entire journal, the book itself, was not in evidence, and that was something that Mr. Hurley acquiesced to, didn't ask for anything different. I understand that. But when the jury comes back with their question, it suggests that they weren't sure. I mean, it could suggest a few things, but one of the things it could suggest is that they weren't sure what else was in the journal, assuming it was part of the evidence, or maybe they should be told it wasn't. But what I'm not talking about whether the journal was in evidence or not in evidence. I'm talking about the jury knowing that those four entries or four pages, that's it. The rest of the journal was empty. That seems like something that maybe that's what the jury was asking to find out, that they weren't clear on that. Is that something that they could have been given an answer to or not?
No, Your Honor. The blank pages from the journal were not in evidence. There was a question on the record, and admittedly, it was not as clear as it could have been. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20 as to whether this was the entirety. unfortunately, it appears that it did not, I cited to it in my brief, but I unfortunately did not put it in my the state's appendix. And it was at transcript page 40 to 41 of the second day of trial. She was specifically asked, do you have any other diaries other than the 5, 6, 7, or 8? There's 10 pages there, the 10 pages that the jury received. She responded, there was an earlier one from 2007 that her aunt had confiscated. And after that was confiscated, this is the next diary. Yes. That's the testimony as to what those pages constitute. To the extent that the blank pages, and Mr. Early makes this clear, those blank pages would have constituted evidence. He would have used them as evidence against her. And it was his decision not to. So the jury could not have been instructed that the rest of the jury was blank. So the state, Your Honor, would respectfully suggest that this was affirmatively waived. Even if it were not affirmatively waived, there was no plain error here. Error must be plain on the face of the law that exists at the time. Obviously, there is no case law on this point. And to suggest that the trial judge erred by not sua sponte asking a question over counsel's explicit request not to is simply stretching a plain error too far.
Is there case law where a counsel has asked the court to make an inquiry of the jury and the trial court refuses?
No, Your Honor. Not that I have ever been able to find. Outside of issues, again, as there have been cases where the trial judge has refused to answer questions interpreting the law of the case, how it progressed through the jury instructions, Bullock, Borden, those questions related directly to their function as jurors and interpreting the law entirely within the province of the trial judge. Those, obviously, the failure to clarify to the extent possible when the jury asks a question or refusal to answer a question about the state of the law is much more problematic than answering the jury's curiosity about what is not in evidence here.
Well, what should the rule be if there's one, or should there be a rule if a jury has a question and the verdict is about to be returned, what should a judge do as a matter of course?
Your Honor, if the question is about the law, it's about their function in interpreting the law as it applies to the facts of that case, then the trial judge should inquire whether they were able to resolve their difficulties in interpreting the law before accepting the verdict. However, where it deals solely with juror curiosity things not in evidence, which obviously there are many, many cases where there are facts and evidence that is not permitted to go before the jury. The jury can infer they actually exist. There should be no duty to inquire further at that point. If it deals solely with juror curiosity about the facts, the evidence, that's not something a trial judge can comment on when there's no basis to inquire at that point.
Thank you.
In response to Justice Ridgely's question, while there are no cases dealing with requests for instructions to the jury on questions of evidence, but there have been where the jury has asked for clarification on the law and the court has refused to answer that or reread the statute. And this court in Sermons v. Penn actually reversed because of that, and the same occurred in federal court.
All right, thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement and recess.